need the end of the notes, and then we'll be able to go further in the Shulchan Aruch. Just the very last piece here.
Close
it in yours. Yeah, the very last thing has something to say about another Ramah. Okay, the Ramah by Yosin Sadik test was very machmir, that whatever kind of bittul you had earlier on the first stage, you could have been min b'mino, min b'shenu, min b'lach, b'lach, yavish, b'yavish. If you add more issa, now you're overwhelming the shear. You're not getting the shishim anymore. Everything comes back. All the issum come back. According to the Ramah, bittul is only fundamentally temporary, and things come back. That's all. Basically, you start all so over again.
Does he hold always a matir though?
I guess so. I mean, that would be a nice way to put it.
But
I mean, there are different ways of explaining it. One way is to say it's always a matir, and that'd be good because the mouth goes basa shma. It doesn't follow basa tam. So basa shma means it's a kind of a matir, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mouth's not concerned about the time. Going back to Tzad Ches, over there, the Ramah passed with Basu Shema, so you see for him, Shishim is a matir. And we said a Svara yesterday, and when it's a matir, it gets cancelled when the numbers go the wrong way. Because a matir is not forever. A matir is only if you have the right numbers. The moment the numbers go the wrong way, the matir is taken off.
We're saying the logic of.
But it's still there, we're saying.
What?
Well, it's still there, it's just...
Right, exactly, because it's sitting there. There's a matter, but it's still there, because it's only matter. It doesn't completely get annihilated. It doesn't get... Because the shita that says it won't come back, like a raivid, he says that in the bittul stage, the thing has been annihilated, just disappeared completely, so it will never come back. But the Ramah, who says everything always comes back, if it gets the wrong numbers, he must hold that... When you had the right number at the beginning, 60, whatever it was, and it was butter, it wasn't, the thing did not disappear, it just became mutter.
Right.
So therefore, when the numbers go the wrong way, because you added more rissa later, and now the numbers are not there, so the heter goes away, because the chafetz was sitting there in the path, ready to be revived, yeah.
Does this have really huge halakhic ramifications? Meaning, it almost seems to create like almost like what the Robert say, like a halakhic reality. If halakhically it would be utterly wiped out.
That, exactly. This is a pure halakhic conceptualization problem. Definitely. And it's a very, very fundamental, it may be the most fundamental issue of bittul. What is bittul? When
what
it
does
works,
it do?
Does it destroy the chayfets, or does it just matter the chayfets? So we're going to the heart. I would call the core question of what bittul is. That's why this is a very important discussion here. What is bittul? Does it destroy the chayfets? The word bittul means nullify. So is it nullifying the chayfets, the thing itself, or is it nullifying the yisr? That's the question. What's being nullified? The chayfets or the yisr? If the chayfets is being nullified, it won't come back. Unless the whole tarubis disappears, which is another way of looking at it, maybe second stage. Comes back because there's no more tarogas, then the thing will come back because it becomes nikar. But if it's just, but basically, there is a very strong idea that if it gets destroyed, it won't come back. But if the chayfetz was always there, even in bittul, it's just at the heter on the yisr, so then when you get the wrong numbers later, then it will come back because the heter goes away. Yes?
Well, speaking, didn't we say within the Ramah, meaning based on if he holds about our shame, I mean, we learned this a while ago, so I might be saying it incorrectly. But if you hold about their shame, then we said the reason why min b'mino, the whole idea of min b'mino is that it's one entity of that thing, so it becomes, so it's like it destroys it. So based off that logic, wouldn't, according to the Ramah, min b'mino not make it chozer b'nivar?
Okay, if we said such a svara, then we have a good question now.
I think I remember that Rav brought that svara.
Okay, I'm happy that you guys are keeping track of what he said there and what he says here. And sometimes it is paradoxes in what he's saying. Rav never really tried to be so consistent between one shin the next, and every so often I would raise my hand and say, Rebbe, didn't you say the opposite last week? And he'd get really angry. He would say, Reichman, every shear is a new shear. Ain't base a medrash b'li chidush. We're always trying to say chidushim. Never ask me from another shear. Never. Okay. So I'm basically saying that I wasn't trying to be consistent. I was just trying to give you ideas to work with. So if you have a contradiction like you do, work it out. Okay, change one of them to make it fit the other one.
How far do we take that statement on the
Rav? That's not halacha. This is just
When the Rav made, like, when he wrote his farim,
he didn't write
ideas.
His farim.
No, he but he did. Farim. He wrote halacha command. I mean, those were.
He doesn't write the Gemara. He knows that it's not going to be consistent.
It's almost very interesting.
So, when I publish it, I'll put it in the footnote. First of all, I do try to make it consistent. So when I'm writing, let's say page 100, I look, and I know we talked about it back in page 50. I look at the two and I say, let me try to make it consistent. I'm not going to put it in paradox. So if once in a while I do let something go in, which is a paradox, I'll put a footnote and say, look over there, sounds like a paradox.
Rabbi,
yes,
it's almost very interesting. I guess based on the whole idea that we're discussing in the beginning of the year about being a being a plosek versus just speculating, I guess it takes the pressure off. So you're just able to get up and speculate based off of what you're reading in the moment, as opposed to.
Right.
I guess it goes off of what we're discussing last week.
If you had more time, you would try to make it more consistent. Or if you weren't that kind of. Like, he's a very, very creative mind, so it's very hard for him to keep track of everything he ever said and then try to make things consistent. I mean, if he, once in a while, if he would let it go through it, he would say, listen, if you say something else, and he would then rework it and try to make it consistent.
So
he definitely did.
When he was giving shear,
I mean, if he remembered what he said last time, he would try to keep it
when
consistent.
When he was giving shear, were there things that, like, he'd speculate and be like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Like in the middle of shit, like you'd be speculating.
Yes, yeah.
But like someone would get up and say something and be like, you're right, that doesn't make sense. Like, scratch that idea.
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't like he had...
A lot of times he said, I'm just trying to find out possibilities. I'm not trying to come to some possibilities in the logic of things and the analysis. I'm not trying to come to the final analysis. Which is why, he didn't really publish his shurim, because he felt that he doesn't have a final analysis, but I got the permission from him to do it, and I told him, I'm going to just say, it's the Talmud's responsibility, whatever I understood, it's what I did. It's not the Rebbe's final say. He said, good, okay, that was like
it. That's a very interesting take, because it's like, I guess I often almost feel like, I guess it gives him a little bit more confidence to make sparas, because if you just kind of say it's speculation, you don't have to worry
about it.
Wait, is there Gemara somewhere in the second that I never learned that answers that question, basically?
Right. That's a good, very good point, yeah. It creates much more freedom of thought. Yeah. The critics, they say, well, it's speculation, and it's not finalized, it's too half-baked. That's the critics, but... the jury has decided that the Rav was right, because his shoe and these farm are all over. So the jury decided.
But I mean, it's
and basically all the yeshivas, even though as you go from yeshiva to yeshiva and you see this Rebbe, that Rebbe, this Rebbe, they do vary. Some of them are more on the speculative side, some of them more on the final conclusion, consistent side. And what's strange is that there's a yeshiva brisk in Yerushalayim, which was created by the Rav's uncle, his father's brother, Reb Velvula, and it's now being run by that uncle's grandchildren. And it's very, very popular yeshiva for Americans called Brisk in Yerushalayim. And there they try to be very consistent. They're very different than the Rav. The Rav went more to the speculative, creative side, and they moved over to the more consistent final. So therefore they're not as creative as the Rav, it's much less. It's really interesting how it worked. But this issue is a basic issue, yeah.
But it's not as if the Rav never brought other Gemaras into
Shir.
So it's It is a little bit of a balance between.
Yeah, there's always a balance. Yes,
he was a Talmud Chacham. It wasn't like he just.
You can't
up
just say what
you can't
you
just
want,
say whatever you want.
The man knew Torah.
Yeah.
He knew color Torah.
He was rooted in Torah, but too.
No, of course. But what I'm saying is, practically, if you're gonna say, if you give the extra example, maybe the Ramah here holds only a Ramah here, and then you say, hold on, that doesn't make sense with something that we said before. Then okay, my answer is incorrect. Or one of the end, you have to rework. It's not like okay. So the Ramah.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know what we said before going back to your specific question.
Yeah.
Basa Shema, the Rav said over there, the Basa Shema means that it's a sheer abittal, that you're dealing with shurim, you're not dealing with disappearing. Because the Shach, who's pushing Basa Tam, he's working with the concept that if you don't have time, it disappears. And if it has time, it comes back. So there the Shach is more like the Ramah over here, or the Ramban, that disappearing and coming back. And over there, I personally don't.
I can
you can look at it and you can talk about it in the base medrash. It's not for us during this year to try to work it out. It's not my goal to try to get it to be consistent. Okay, now let's do page 34. Ein B'Ramah. Okay, Ein B'Ramah Simen Kuf Tes. So it's much later down the road. There's a Simen Kuf Tes Sif Beis. So what happened over there? Yesh Omrim, the Im Noda Tarov et Kodim Shin is Bashtu Biyachal Hakol Shori. The Ein Chosim Venesorim Ma'achashin is Batal Biyavish. Okay? So basically, he's talking about the Bittul of Yavish Biyavish. Let's say you have you have a Yavish B'Yavish. Now, Yavish B'Yavish, the pieces are mixed with pieces. So basically, in Yavish B'Yavish, the rule is, let's say it's a Min B'Mino, okay? It has a very big cooler. Yavish B'Yavish in terms of the amounts you need for Bittul. Usually we always say, Min B'Shein Amino, it certainly needs 60 because we want to get rid of the flavors of Isser. Min B'Mino also needs 60 because we want there to be a consistency. Shishim for Min B'Shein Amino, Shishim for Min B'Mino. That's also when things are being cooked together. However, Yavish B'Yavish, things are separate. You're not cooking things together, it just got mixed up. You don't know what's what. So there, the rule is a very interesting rule, is that if it's a min b'she'en or mino, yavish b'yavish, okay, now that would be very hard to actually happen, because usually a min b'she'en or mino don't look the same. But maybe they do, min b'she'en or mino, maybe things are chopped up so small, and they basically look the same, okay. So, Min B'Shein Amino. Let's say you have a piece of chazir meat mixed up with some kosher beef. Now, usually these things will look a little bit differently, so it won't be a tarovas, but I guess maybe if you turn both of them into a salami, so you have beef salami and you have bacon salami, so as it comes out, they look really the same, they smell the same, but they probably don't taste the same. So, or maybe they do. In any event, so when it gets mixed up, the beef salami and the bacon salami, pork salami, so it's a min b'mino. It could be a min b'she'en amino if they say their tastes are different. If everything looks, smells, tastes the same, okay, maybe it'll be a min b'mino. Anyway, so Yavish B'Yavish could have a min b'mino, could have a min b'she'en amino. And there the rule is like this, that if it's a min b'she'en amino, you need shishin, you need 60 midrabban. Midraisa, 1 and 2 is bato, whether it's min b'mino, min b'she'en amino, midraisa. Because we explained it's a suffix, and every time you take a piece, you don't know what you're taking. So you say, oh, I got bas rov, and probably I got from the two kosher ones, I picked that. And the third one I left behind, is probably the treif one. So mitaraisa you go with the rove. But the Rabbanon said min b'shein or mino needs a shishim. And a min b'mino, we leave it with a rove. Just a majority is good enough. And yavish b'yavish. Okay, that's the basic rule. So now, let's say there was a bittel of a min b'mino. So it means it was just one and two. Min b'mino, so that's really good. That'd be very good. We have kosher salami from whatever empire kosher salami from beef, and it mixed in with non-kosher salami from Purdue. And it's exact same min b'mino, tastes the same, looks the same, same name, beef, beef. Okay. One is kosher, and one never had a shita, so it's not kosher. So, if you have three pieces like this, two which are kosher, I can eat it. That's yavish b'yavish. Now, let's say you cook it. You take the three pieces of salami and you fry them together to make some kind of salami eggs or whatever. You cook it. So now that you're cooking it with oil, so now it's becoming a much more, it's becoming now a lach or blia. Things are moving around in the pot and being absorbed. Now it has to change from rove to shishim. Okay, so do I say chozer v'nir? Because it was bato originally in a simple yavish b'yavish before I cooked it. Now it was bato b'rove. Now I cook it, and now the size changes to shishim, but it was bato already, so maybe I don't say chozer v'nir.
And what's chozer v'nir?
In other words, that use a bittle of rove continue even after you cook it. You're not adding more isurim. Here the chozer v'nir and tzaddik test was he had a shishim and more issur falls into the pot.
You're just in this case changing the nature of the mixture.
Exactly. You're changing the nature of the tarovis from a yavish b'yavish, let's call it a lach b'chaticha, I think.
So the case is, if you have a rove heter with the yavish b'yavish kesh, right?
And you know about it, that makes a bottle.
Okay.
And then you cook them.
And then you cook them.
Now it's a tarovus of lach b'lach, which usually should require a shishim. So do I knock out the bittle of the rove and say, you need a shishim? Or do I keep the bittle of the rove? Because I don't have a shishim once I cook it. Same three pieces, but maybe it's a little bit more oil.
Is it chozer v'nir in case of your
changing the nature of the
tarovus?
So the Ramah passes over there, no, it is not chozer v'nir.
That's fascinating. You would see that the Ramah would say that it's chozer v'nir.
Yeah, I would say it would be a kal v'chomer. I would say it's really chozer v'nir. But he says it's definitely not chozer v'nir.
Even if you say that it's batel, like even if you say it's completely destroyed, which we don't say in case of yavish b'yavish, because it's rove. Even if you were to say that, this thing, we're saying it changes its nature, it's a new thing.
It's a new kind of tarot.
It should have a new din.
Right, you say it's a new din. He says, no, repeat that again. Yesh omim d'im no dat tarot bet kodem shenetz bashtu b'yachad. If you knew about the yavish b'yavish tarot before it was ever cooked, hakol shor, it stays mutter, the ein chozem v'nesorim, it does not become osu again, Ma'afish and his bottle of b'yavish, since it became bottle of b'yavish. Tzorachi in b'tama dava. We need some explanation of this. Ma'ash nahasam she'ena issa chozer v'nir. Why doesn't that issa come back? Kishin is bashel. Nosan tam b'shah chaticha shiva k'day. Also could be a mid b'she'enu mino. And you literally have that flavor. Why doesn't it come back?
Is the case,
I would not say for no some time, I would say for lack of shishim. One second. For lack of, let me just make sure I'm right about this. Chaticha, sif praise. Yes. I always change the heart of the chain. Vishnu Kulam Kecha, I feel like I'm going to have a asthma also.
Maybe you could say it's not
a chozer v'nir. The machaber passed in chozer v'nir in that case. The Yeshua Midrash says no, sorry. Ein chas and a son. So look at kuf tested base. The mechaber passed in that kind of a case. Chos of aniyah does come back. And the Ramos says no, stays mushy. Okay, kuf tested base.
Is the shizit starts off raw, or it's already a cooked dish, and then you make it into a
fried dish?
Right.
I mean, maybe with the Ramah, it could be holding. It's not, I guess, a closer near thing, but like, I guess the nature of the tarovis has changed.
The tarovis, basically, you're not changing quantities of the different foods. It's the same three pieces.
Changing the nature of the
tarovis. So that is not going to create the chos of aniyah.
So now it seems like we have this paradox within the Ramah, is because he holds chos of aniyah in the previous one, but not in this. But maybe, right. Do you think he could be saying that it's not a chos of aniyah thing, it's just that, like, I guess the nature of the tarovis is still yavish biyavish, because
or but you want to give some idea why this would not be a chos of aniyah.
Or that it's, instead of maybe saying specifically yavish biyavish, but that once you establish this tarovis,
it's that tarovis.
When it has this set amount of quantities and like there's nothing that's being added or taken away per se, you would have that same din, even if you really change it from a yavish biyavish to a lach lach or a blios.
Right, exactly.
So meaning, I guess, once you define it as a yavish to yavish.
Not a yavish, just this is tarovis A. This is the quantities we have, and since we established that this
you're
point,
right.
It's all...
It's a bit
of...
Then we could say the same thing with the other.
Which one?
With the case of...
In R.
No, the original case, yeah, in R. Right. So adding...
No, but what, as soon as you add something, it goes from tarovis A to you're adding something, it's new tarovis.
Yeah, it's the adding something.
Oh, it's the adding.
Adding the thing.
If it's the same amount. That's the five tarovis. You can do whatever the heck you want with it.
Once at from the onset, yeah. Whatever
yeah,
you decide.
Why does it matter if you change into a mixture? That's a tarovis with this amount. Once you add something, it's a new tarovis.
Exactly. And here's the same tarovis.
Even
though it looks different.
It's like, you say you're going to put it around if you cook it, watch it make a difference.
Basically, your answer is what he gives. So let's read.
It's also, chos v'nira, I feel like, is specifically as for the Ramah. I'm just continuation. Something else comes in which then reinstates the previous thing. But nothing else is being added. It's exactly what you're saying. Nothing is really changing. Except being the status.
Wait, looks it's changed, but that's apparently not essential.
It's a dish. Yeah.
It's not essential, it's just a superficial change. Adding more isurim is a fundamental change. That changes the tarovis from A to B. And therefore the pitl of A gets cancelled because I have a new tarovis B. But if it's all the ingredients have basically stayed the same, just the way it looks. It looked like a yavish be yavish, now it looks like a lach b'lach. The same tarovis, bittel v'schal, it stays there.
And it fits well with what we're saying by like the Raven in the sense of matir. That is a matir here. Meaning like lemaisa, if now you mix them together and it gives off taste literally to one another, you can't say that it's completely bittel in the sense that it's destroyed. It's completely, you know, destroyed from the mixture. It's still there. It's just that it was already had a sense of matir in this tarovis.
Yeah, so the tarovis had that matter and it sticks. Even though you changed the
even
form,
though it's really tough to say because you
cooked it, that changes it from a yavish b'yavish to a lach b'lach. So let's read what he says. Okay, he quotes a Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is sort of like a left field shot. So that's not really what the Rav is into. But you can read that. I'm a B'yar Grosham. The Vilna Gaon learns that the Ramah there is talking about Dafka Min B'mino situation, and a Min B'mino, the Shishim requirement is Midrabanan, And you don't say chose of a near and din the rabbanon.
But that doesn't
fit well. That doesn't fit well with tzaddik test. The tzaddik test will not across the board. It doesn't say.
And he's saying it specifically within the case of a derabbanon.
A specific case of a derabbanon where you're dealing with shurim derabbanon. In other words, you're going to a shishim level, which is an amin b'mino, but that's not really the Ramon tzaddik test. The Ramon tzaddik test.
I guess you
seems
can say
to say across the board. So that's why the Rav didn't really go into that. I guess there's a discussion.
You could say maybe that, like, there when the Ramon's talking about Derbani, he's talking about, like, the Isra Chetza of Derbani. Here, the Gra's saying of the Shir of Derbani. You know, where we say generally it's about to the robe, here it's about to the
right.
Shishin. And that maybe is where the distinction is.
Right.
When the Ramah says it over there, we are assuming that it's talking about, like, you know, Yisr
Chetzah. There's no hint of this back inside the text that when he says Chosev and Nir, he means
only the Isr.
He says Loshno Min Bemino, Chosev and Nir now. Min Bemino is going to be probably the Rabbanon. Unless he means the Rove. You know, between Rove and no Rove, that's a derisa. But that's a difficult.
It's a technical reading, I'm saying that.
Yeah,
it might
be. The Rabbanon is a very difficult reading. That's why the Rove didn't work with that, okay? He just quotes it. But the Tochlam about Fanach, this is what he's saying. The Loa Min Chosev and Nir, Elekishni Tosaf. Issa b'tarovet. You say it comes back when you add more issa to the tarovet. The bezem ma'ir ha'ramah in tzaddik tes sivah, which is ha'ramah, because he added more issa. Hangotamah. The reason for that is the dafka tarovet harishona chal din bittel. The din bittel is only the first tarovet. Avol kishni tosaf od issu harei nishtani shir harov. When you add more risk, you're changing the amounts. Chashuv k'tarovet acheret. Now it's a whole new tarovet. Me'er shachar yachaliot yisach chazev anir lesa tarovet chadosha. So that's why it comes back, because that is now involved in some new tarovet. Ma'ashe kosef ha'ramah sim kuftes shein yisach chazev anir, it doesn't come back. He didn't add any more issa. Rak yavish b'yavish took the tarovis of yavish b'yavish. She is bashta and he cooked it, and so it becomes a tarovis of lach b'lach. V'nefaneinu la tarovet harishona. So the first tarovus keeps its status. Van is batel, issu shabba. The issu is batel. So as he says, the tarovus which we gave, that if you add issu imitating a new tarovus, you have to start all over again. But if you just change the form of the tarovus, you don't change the quantities, you're changing the form from yavish b'yavish to a lach b'lach by cooking things, it doesn't change the shem or the status of the tarovus. The bittel which was there stays, and it's the same tarovet halachically, and therefore it doesn't get cancelled. Okay, now he has another question. There's another problem. Have a kosev ramos simen kuf gimel sif beis shem yeshom also yeshomim. The apple got this is shenais in tam lufgam. Ain't the osa tatasha shepherdera. We come up and in Bishdu Bach and Tatasha Shahisarisha Neusenberg Tam the Shvach Shaper Nessa Tafshal Hashani Noheba Shishim to negative. So we have like this. There's a rule called like this when you say about Neusen Tam that Issa gives flavor into a mix of Mimbushain Amino becomes Asa. Right? There's no Shishim, it's Asa. That has to be nice and tam of shvach. Has to be a good flavor. If it's nice and tam of gam, it makes the food taste terrible. That's not asr. That's a special halacha. So you have to make sure that the flavors are beneficial, maybe neutral, but not damaging the flavor. So you pour vinegar into a chicken soup. It's So the vinegar is, let's say, not kosher, and I'm going to taste it, but it's a nice and tam of gam. It's going to be batal, because there's no tam if it's pagam. Okay, so now let's say he mixed this vinegar into this dish. Let's say it was chicken, okay? He was roasting chicken, they poured in vinegar by mistake, they thought it was oil, but it really turned out to be vinegar, and there's not even kosher vinegar on top of it. So it's a big, but meanwhile, it makes the chicken taste worse. So, okay. So, you know, he says, so there's a chef there, he says, you know what I'm going to do? It's chicken with vinegar, it doesn't really taste so good. So, you know, before they even discovered it, they're talking about treif stuff. So he said, you know what I'm going to throw in some, what tastes good? I'm going to throw in some broccoli and maybe some, I'm going to throw in maybe some. Cabbage, things like that. You put vinegar in them, it makes it taste, the vinegar gives a good flavor, and now the chicken will be okay. So then he adds more ingredients, and all of a sudden, what was pagam becomes now shvach. So the question is, it was batal in the first stage, and pagam, does it come back? Is it chozer v'niyah? So there he says it does come back. This chose of veneer. The tam of gam, which becomes tam of shvach, makes the treif vinegar come back, and now the pittle is gone, and now the pittle is gone. Okay, so it comes back. So is that a problem or not? Because is this like cake taking a yavish biyavish and cooking it into lach balach, we say it does not come back? Or is this more like tzaddik tes, where you're adding isurim and it does come back? Here, actually, you're not adding isurim. You're adding heter. You're adding this broccoli or the cabbage, and the heter is making the flavor come back.
So it sounds like, if we're going to this pshalim by the Rav, that it's when you add something, you're changing the nature of the, from it being taros A to taros B, and in that case, you know, everything's off the table, would work. It would make sense why you would say it's usher.
Exactly. So that's what he's going to say. Very good. So he continues over here. Shem Yesh Omim, the art, page 35. Daf Gav, this is Nosan Tam of Gam, Eina Osa Tatasha Shepik Devon, Kamal and Bishta Boach, Kaf Tashu, Shuissa Havisha Nosan by Tam and Shvach, Shapa Nessa Tashma Shani, in Mahoya Bo Shishim, Kenegadu is Mucha, Disa Yochel Yot Hose Venir, Ap Offen Shalom, the Toss of Shum Issa, but I was in Ad and the Issa. Yeshloma, the Shom is Bashal Bo O Tashal Acher, he added other ingredients, which are hamutter, shenos on otam l'shvach. We got the tashal hasheni, now that second dish, which has all these new ingredients, chola chalot shem tarovet chadosh, that makes it a new tarovet, because there's new ingredients. Ma'ashen ken b'yavish b'yavish in his bashel, if you start with a simple yavish b'yavish, and then they just cook the same ingredients, lo nitosef bo lo isa v'lo heta, he didn't add any other ingredients, not isa, not heta, mishmoch like a Taroves Chadosha, it's not a new Taroves, ve'ein achoz v'niyah, and therefore it won't come back.
Meaning, in a sense, let's say if it's a case of Yavish v'Yavish, and, you know, together, like, you know, I would have thought maybe, you know, just concerned with that, but like, it's at this stage, there's no tentam l'pagam. But then once you cook it together and you release the flavor, now it's, you know, l'shvach. So I guess you would still say in that case,
still bottom.
Should we still bottom?
I couldn't add more ingredients. Okay, let's go ahead now. Basically, what I'm doing now, guys, is going to read just Mechaber Remar, Behetev, and cover some ground. We don't have any rough notes, so we have nothing to slow us down. Okay, we have the Tzaddik Tes, Sif Zayin. Okay, so pay attention, because as we go through it, you can lose it. It's a complicated cases, but there's no deep analysis going on. Okay? Im nivla isim muat. Tzadik tes siv zayin v'chaber. Okay. Im nivla isim muat. The tochli kasher. If a little iser got mixed into a big kosher pot of food. So there's a little bit of trace ingredients. The tray fell into a big challenge. Okay. Im Darko shall otakli lishtamish bobeshefa heter. Okay, what happens like this? He has a kosher pot. Okay? And then someone pours, then they're going to cook something. So the first thing they're going to pour in is oil. So the cook pours in oil to warm up the pot, and the oil should, you know, start greasing the pot. Okay, he does that. And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, wait a second, that oil is really lard. It's a not kosher oil because we're in a kosher treif restaurant, and the oil from the treif side wound up at a kosher stove, and someone got mixed it up in the back, and now all of a sudden I have a kosher pot which has in it a blia of treif lard. So what am I supposed to do? You know, don't use this pot. There's a very big leniency here. He says, this is a very big pot. It always has a lot of, it's a huge chowan pot. You always fill it up with a lot of ingredients. You're never going to get a flavor from that oil in the pot, okay? Because there's always so much ingredients in there. And it's very hard for him to kasher this pot because it's Friday, late Friday. So he wants to know, can he make the chalent? It's huge. So can he be mevatel yisra lechadchila? Because what's going to happen is he'll put all the kosher ingredients in there, cook the chalent, and meanwhile a little trace of the blea of the yisra in the walls of the pot is going to come out and be butter.
It goes in before the heter is in there?
Yeah, he did this first.
Empty dish.
What's
an empty pot, and he cooked in there some treif oil.
A little bit of lard.
A little bit of lard. And then, let's say, so even if he wipes it away and so on, but it still was absorbed into the walls, so when he cooks to
the same amount as
what fell in, so can you not? So the answer is no. Ein mevatel misa lechatchila. You can't make a kosher dish which has a trace amount of not kosher in it. And it's batel because you're creating a bittul lechatchila. You're not allowed to do that. This would be amazed, and it's an issur d'oraisa dealing with lard. So you shouldn't do that. He says you can. But this pot will always do the shishim. It never has a situation. The only time that there's an issur the d'rabbanan, I guess, not mevatel lechatchila, is situations where when you mevatel it, there'll be some times where you won't have shishim. So the made of gazeva don't artificially be mevatel something in shishim, lest you try to do it and you won't have a shishim. So they made a gazeva, don't you do it with a shishim, because maybe you'll do it without a shishim. But this case, it's a gigantic pot. You're always going to have a shishim against this kind of a blia. Therefore, he says you're allowed to do that. So im dak shalot kli. It's a kli which has a huge amount of heter all the time. You can now use it now. It's a very tiny amount of issa there in the pot. It can never give a flavor given the way this pot is used. So therefore, you're allowed to do that.
Rabbi,
yes.
Can you say the same thing with something being the vato?
After the fact,
meaning not left to, meaning...
This is after the fact.
No, but I'm saying
Gzeira... He didn't say...
No, I'm saying Gzeira...
It's after the fact that the pot got contaminated.
Yeah, but I'm saying Gzeira... Meaning, so we're saying that the Gzeira of Indivatlin Isolachila is because you might happen to not put in enough, right?
Right.
So, can't that same logic apply to any other...
I don't know, because I don't know if he lets you know.
We could say I don't think he's letting me, because there might not be enough.
He's saying that in this case, which is a quasi bidyevet case, because the pat got that treif bliya inadvertently, you didn't put it in there right away at the beginning. You know, it was a mistake. Now you have a problem. What to do? Can I continue to use the pat, or maybe I should put the pat aside?
So then he says
you can continue. But he never said
that
he would let
you
at the beginning.
So it's not like you're adding cholent. It's like the nature of the pot is like, even before the cholent's in there, it's like a big cholent pot. So I guess the nature of the pot is that, like,
it's never get the problem of shishim. But he doesn't let you do this unless it fell in on its own. And then you continue. That's it. His cool is to let you continue with this. He doesn't say that you could, at the beginning, plan to make a cholent with a little tray flour, because it's a huge pot. He never said that. He said, if that tray flour got into the pot by mistake, you can continue and create the shishin by adding all these ingredients, because you don't have to worry about, maybe I'll make a mistake and not have a shishin. You definitely will have a shishin.
He's saying it's almost it's b'diavad and it fell in after, because it's a big cholent pot. That's like designed to be a massive cholent pot, so therefore, It's
even without the chot,
it's like a
chot.
Right.
It's as if you already have shishim.
Okay.
That's good. Ulefichach is a mashu shenivla kadei of the toch kankanim. Now he expands it from that huge pot. He goes into plates, jars. Piyotze ben mudel Hashem ishpo v'chad chila afu ben yom mudel fi shev shalav v'dein nesinas tam. Okay, so anytime you have, it doesn't have to be a big cholent pot, it could be a plate, it could be some kind of a jar. As long as the relationship between the way these plates or jars are used, there's always going to be a shishim against this amount of bliya, you can continue using it and be mevatel that mashu, that trace amount.
So it's not only a big, even a small dish, if there's just tiny speck.
Tiny speck, right.
It's chacham, I think it's actually.
Yes, it is. It definitely is halachal
amais. This seems like a big chiddush.
It is a huge chiddush.
I'm saying, like,
it's a huge chiddush. It's a huge kula, and it happens all the time.
You would think most cases
this happens all the time.
That you would be mevatel lechachila is a case where it is so minute that you're definitely going to have shishim.
Yes.
Because if like a massive thing of tray falls into your soup, it's like, dude, you're not going to be
right.
And I mean,
here I'm just saying, normal usage of this pot, dish, plate, jar, normal usage guarantees a shishin. Then you can go ahead and use it. The only time you can't is when there's no guarantee of a shishin. So if normal usage guarantees shishin, you can remove that.
Most cases are
so you have a giant pot, but you never use it. You never fill up the giant pot. You only go to like level, like on the bottom.
The Vilna Gaon says it's based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, there's a Tosfos, and there's a Rashba. Okay. So it's based upon some Gemara, and Rishonim derive it from the Gemara.
Does he have to kosher the pot after when he can?
Of course.
Oh, you do have to kosher the pot.
Later, it's only this one time that you're allowed. Once it's in there, you can use it, but it doesn't mean.
Oh, but it doesn't mean that.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's only about the shishim because of the shishim.
You can keep on using the pot.
Would it matter?
Basically, you probably don't have to kosher the pot.
Would it matter if it's derived from the Ramah? If it's actually destroyed, like what we spoke about before?
Oh.
After Ben Yomo?
He doesn't make any limitations on this. So he's just giving you his blanket heter to move forward with the pot. And he doesn't say that after you cook it once, you should go kasher the pot.
He
said you don't have to worry about it. No, because you're always going to have the shishim, so so it's not a problem.
You'll never come to have it, but if you have
you're never ever going to have a nice and time problem, so therefore there's no risk of aim of atlam. So you can just keep on
even if the next time it's less than shishim, because it's already...
No, it has to be shishim.
I'm saying normally, not this time.
That normal usage of this path always guarantees a shishim. That's the kula. Therefore, you can just go ahead and use that. Yes.
A practical case happened to me. I had a coffee cup that was just sitting on the counter when I was cooking like some meat, and some of the oil from the meat, like a tiny speck, maybe several specks, but tiny, fell into the thing. So at this point, I was like, okay, I just put it aside and I'm not going
to... According to this, you're allowed to use that. Let's say that coffee jar or jug is cheres. It's made from earthenware. You cannot kasher it. Cheres cannot be kashered, so you wouldn't have to throw it out. You can continue using it.
Even if it's cheres, in this case,
would it be 60 times that speck that came in?
That speck wouldn't bother you because you said normal usage guarantees a shishim. I can remember back to that. It's still again and again and again. I keep using the coffee cup, and I just keep thinking about it. It's going to be a 24. It's going to be like more. Basically, be a 24-hour problem. So it's after 24 hours. But even then, you can keep on using it because it's just a speck, and you're always going to have a shish.
I didn't wash it.
And most problems in kitchens are this case. So then it gives a big leniency. Okay, the Mechaber passes it. Let's see if the Gemara will disagree, but I don't think so. So the Mechaber says, "Aval im nivla b'kli." If this is got into some kind of a dish. Sometimes it has only a small amount of the food. Sometimes it won't have the shishin. Kikau, like a regular dish. Kiyotzeba. Then also lishtamish afil of b'shefa. Then you can't use it even though you're going to have a lot of food of heta and you're going to have a shishin. Gzeret, because we have a gzeret shema yishtamish v'dova mu'ud. You might use it when you don't have so much food of kosher. You have all the day in time, and that would create a flavor of this. Okay, so you have to gauge this. It has to be something which is guaranteed based upon normal usage to have always the shishim, and then you can just move forward and forget about it.
We can't trust the person meant to make something that would be 60 times it in such a big pot?
The pot itself guarantees always a shishim. Therefore, if your tarovus happened by mistake, he doesn't say you can do this lechatchila from the very beginning. He says if by mistake that is a got into the walls of the pot or into the dish in the pot, and you're going to have a shishim always, you can use it without worrying about kashim. And you can be mevatel yisur again and again. Okay, it's cooler. Okay, Simon Kuf. Beria. I feel a Be'ela, flow bottle.
Yeah. Ants.
Beria, I feel about flow bottle. So, there's certainly Sum that the Gemara quotes many a few times called Isure Beria. Beria means a creature, a creation. Some things become muscle from the instant of creation. Kugon, he says, I had Kugon the Mole, it's an ant. An ant is created, not kosher.
Bugs.
Bugs are created from the very beginning. It's not like a dead animal, a kosher animal dies, that's in the valley, it becomes also later. But this thing is also from the very moment. Basar b'chalav became also later on. But the beria, from its very inception, was not kosher. Of tame, or let's say a non-kosher bird. Gid Anoshe, that sinew which is not kosher.
Is there any picking a bite out of a pig that's alive is not considered
a barrier. A pig would be a barrier. So we'll soon see. The Yisra begins right away at the beginning. We'll soon see. Or let's say you have a limb from a living animal, a kosher animal, but the limbs are asur from the very inception. You can't eat even menachai. Beitzah sheyesh b'efroch, we have an egg, and inside the egg is a chick which is developing. But that chick is not kosher while, as long as it's inside the egg. It has to hatch. But an unhatched chick inside an egg is not kosher. Well, that's from the pasuk. Kiyotzvem, any situation like that, if these kinds of not kosher entities fall into a mix, afilu be'elef lo bot. The Rabbanu made a gezeira, it will never be bot. Let's say it's a yavish b'yavish, okay? So the yavish b'yavish, okay, let's say I see there's an ant in my lettuce, but then it disappears. I don't know, maybe it's still there someplace, but I don't know, it's a very hard, I can't find it. So, you know, maybe it dropped dead, and now there's only a piece of the ant. And in any event, I don't see it, so it's not bottle. There's no bit of yavish b'yavish on something which is a barrier.
So therefore, the entire salad would be usher.
Right.
How do we know it's a yavish?
That's why we're very machmir with bugs and lettuce, because of this halacha right here. Because
yeah.
The bugs. Someone could say, why are you being so machmir? The mako, it's the 60 times more lettuce than there is a bug. No, because if there is a bug there, full of be'ela, full of bottle, it's a barrier.
It never
be bottle. So that's why they went crazy with the bug issues. Especially when they decided that bugs don't have to be visible completely. No, it was a black dot, and under a microscope it's a bug. That's a barrier, which is also, so lettuce is full of black spots. So I have it. So you can't say it's bottle b'shishin because it's a barrier. So that's the great chumra of modern kashrus was the chum of bugs. It came out about 30 years ago. The Rav didn't like it, by the way. But anyway, it became the chum of...
Because you couldn't see
the 21st. You don't really see it. You just see a spot. So that doesn't exist. Halach is what the Rav felt. But because we're scientists, and for us, microscopes are like eyeglasses. So for us, though you made the decision about 20 years ago, that they're going to go into this big time. So it became the most important part of kashrus and restaurants is the bug issue. And they keep on coming up with new inventions, new gadgets, how to discover it, clean the lettuce. This halach is the chumrah of the century, that barrier lo bato, and bugs are barrier, and therefore all green vegetables became very, very problematic. Some people won't even eat, like, for example, about 10 years ago, they came out and said you can't eat strawberries because the bugs in the strawberries are so camouflaged.
Raspberries are worse.
Raspberries, strawberries, they came out with a blanket.
Figs.
You have to cut off, like, the ends. You can't eat the tops.
Figs are really bad.
Figs, you know.
Cauliflower, too.
Figs. So every so often they're coming out with something because of this issue of a barrier. So Xeir de Rabbanon. Rabbanon said it's so chashuv, it's a barrier. You can't make it bottle in a yavish b'yavish. You can't make it bottle regular. Not chol, not shishim, nothing works. Nothing works on a barrier.
How exactly do we define a barrier?
Okay, now what is the definition of barrier? Okay. A simple read. Okay, I'm just going to add one thing to this because the Rav has a very precise analytical definition of what is a barrier. Okay. What is a barrier? Okay, listen to this. This is very important. Okay, the simple read of the Shulchan Aruch is something became usur as it was created. Barrier means a creation from the word bria. When it was created, when it came into the world, it was us at that moment. Okay, the Rav made the definition like a bug or whatever. The Rav made the definition a little bit more sophisticated. Okay, one second. Please listen to this, because it's very important. The Rav said it's not just that time-wise this item was not kosher from its very inception or conception, from its creation, it became also. That's a simple pshat. He says the issa which it has is an issa which is focusing on its creation as a creation. Now, take a bug. What is the issa of a bug? It's also because it is a bug. Because it has the shape of a bug, looks like a bug, behaves like a bug, looks like a bug. So the Torah prohibited this creature. But the Torah prohibits the creature as a creature, that's a barrier. So, let's say, for example, I would have an animal, and the animal would give birth to a dead baby. A kosher animal gives birth to a dead baby. It could happen, a miscarriage. Is that miscarriage baby going to be a barrier? He says no. So if you just take simply, well, it got into the world, it was us at the very first second. It got out of the mother, it's dead. It's in the barrier. The Rav says, no, it's not us as a creature. It's a dead animal. Dead animals die when they're 30 years old also. And they become us 30 years later. So the Issa of the Torah was not formulated as an Issa barrier, like a Sheretz, or an Of Tameh, a raven. Why is that us? Because it's a raven. Because it was... It has that creature.
I mean, I guess there's no
quality.
There's no monster that would allow it.
The creature quality is the definition of the Isser. The Isser is a chalos. Reduce its language. The chalos of the Isser, or chalos shem, the status and the name of the Isser, is Isser barrier. The barrier is also, that's what they were most yes.
But why are we more machmer on a bird than on any other treif animal?
Meaning any treif animal would be the same, like pig.
So even though it says of tame, it means, even if I, this seems to imply, even if you have a piece of a raven in your food, you can never
eat a raven. No, it has to keep its original shape.
What? Then it's just a bria.
If it has to keep that original shape, if you chop it up, I don't think it's a berry anymore.
So if we take a kid in Usha and then we chop it up, it's no longer a kid in Usha.
Right. I don't think
and so. We take an Everminakai and we chop it up, it's not Everminakai.
Right.
The Rav Sfar fits very well with the Machlokis and Chulin. Fourth paragraph where they discuss, like, you know, what's the difference by a certain level of tuma between the treifa and a veilim. You know, if it's a treif animal versus a veilim, in the sense that by the treif animals, even if, let's say, the animal was born and never had a chance to become kosher or have a kosher shechita, it was a ben kosher in a sense because it has the shame of this kosher animal. The ben kosher, even though it never had the chance to. Whereas by any other like nevela in of itself, it never had the din of a ben kosher. Therefore, it is a baria, like usher, minai kar.
Okay.
What it sounds like.
Okay. Look at Sif Kuf Aleph Sif Vav. Okay. Turn to Kuf Aleph. We have Kuf Aleph Sif Vav. I just want to make sure you guys know that. Okay. You with us? Had Kuf Aleph Sif Vav. It says hard the barrier the chaticha will escape lo beteli dafke be odam shleimin aval im nechtechu of nesvasku and shenevetsu of son batli sulo chashivi. Okay, if you have the barrier, it's only us a while it's shalem, while that original shape is there. If it gets cut up or ground up and it loses its shape, it is batl. It's not considered so important.
So it is completely the shape that matters.
It has to keep
but
that shape.
It has to be mixed with a with other things.
Apparently the mixture is a kind of mixture that you're not going to recognize it, even though it has the same shape.
That's why we're saying that it has to be yavish, but yavish in a sense.
The gid anush is mixed with kosher gidim, so that's fine. They look the same.
And they ground it together?
No, they ground together, then it's butter. If it's not ground together,
then
it's not butter.
Right.
Black spot, which is a bug, is still the same shape, but if, let's say, it would be ground up,
that helps you sometimes.
Let's say, if you have some green vegetable, so you're worrying about bugs, but meanwhile, if it gets ground up,
is that pizza left like you
want?
Someone
ground
it up, by mistake.
We spoke of the Rav who, when Rebbe was gone,
Rabbi Packer
gave us the case of when Goyim do it, he was having the jamming process. That in the jamming process, the Goyim aren't doing it to Mabatel bugs. They're doing it because that's how you make jam. And it happens to be that when they do it, they're Mabateling all of these bugs. So we can have the jam because it's not that we're hiring the Goyim to do it because they're doing it anyway.
Okay.
Well, you spoke about it with the Asian can't do it, but
we did that discussion. Okay. Basically, we just started. We can stop here, and tomorrow we'll continue going through this. So try to do Simon Kuf. Kuf out. See how far we can go.